Before I begin continuing the discussions that we have, but maybe I wait for two, three more minutes. I have to make two announcements, but I'm trying to see how I want to cover everything in the two sessions that we have. Okay, before beginning the discussion, two announcements. The first one is that this entire talks are being recorded and they would be posted on the Santa Monica Baha'i Center website. And I'm really grateful to the Assembly, Santa Monica Assembly, for doing this, because that means that if we want to go back and listen again, or for the people who are not present, that gives them an opportunity, if they are interested, to listen. Many times I receive emails from all over the world, and the source of many of these things are recordings of Santa Monica Baha'i Center. The second announcement that I want to mention is that there is going to be a conference honoring the Bab and the birthday of the Bab at UCLA. It is an academic conference, but it is open to everybody, and that would be Saturday 19th of October. That would be all day. There would be six lectures. I am one of those presenters. And people who would make presentations, they are people who have spent their time, sometimes lifetime, studying history of the Bab or writings of the Bab and so on. So it would be a very interesting event. It would be most likely in the faculty center, but look for announcements and posters for that. Saturday 19th of October.
At UCLA?
At UCLA, yes. It's a formally UCLA event sponsored by Center for the Study of Religion and Department of Near Eastern Languages and Cultures. There is also a very important celebration that is also all day. Saturday, October 12th, in Baha'i Center of Los Angeles, there are three speakers together with tons of artistic events. And again, I am one of those three. That is Saturday 12th. Just 1 week after that, it would be the event at UCLA. I think Los Angeles, I mean general Los Angeles, is a very lucky place that it has all these events going on, and I'm thankful again for the fact that we have this occasion to study Persian Bayan. Okay, I was talking about, as I mentioned, in discussing Persian Bayan, I want first to discuss the philosophy and worldview of the Persian Bayan, and then we go to more details about the laws and ordinances of the Persian Bayan. And my hope was that in the first two lectures, I finish the first part, and then we go for the in the afternoon to focus on the second. But I didn't finish the discussion of the philosophy and worldview of the Bab, so I continue, but I would be very short. And present only the essentials without going into much discussion, so that we would have a chance to engage in some discussion of the details. I've promised dear Sheila to address the question that she asked, that because of different things that I was saying, I forgot the question. And the question was letters of the living, any of them not recognizing Baha'u'llah. As I mentioned, not that many letters of the living remained alive. Very few remained alive. One of the letters of the living did not recognize Baha'u'llah among those who were living. And one of the letters of the living, as I mentioned, Mullah Baqir Tabrizi was one of the first people who recognized the Bab. The one who didn't recognize is Mullah Hadi Ghazvini. Hadi Ghazvini was the brother of Muhammad Ali Ghazvini. Muhammad Ali Ghazvini and Hadi Ghazvini, both of them are related to Tahereh. Muhammad Ali Ghazvini is a brother-in-law of Tahereh. And Muhammad Ali was martyred in Tabarsi event. Hadi Ghazvini remained alive, and Baha'u'llah revealed a number of tablets in his honor, saying that because he is one of the letters of the living, it is important that his name become a real one, namely that he would not become dead by failing to recognize the manifestation of God, he whom God shall make manifest. He didn't actively oppose Baha'u'llah, but did not become a supporter of Baha'u'llah either. One other point, even during the time of the Bab, one of the letters of the living was completely inactive, and one of the letters of the living actually rejected the faith. And so this is another issue that confirms all those things that I was discussing before, that the letters of the living are important not by themselves. It's not their intrinsic characteristics. All the praises of the letters of the living are praises of the one which is reflected and present and manifest in them. It's not they themselves. And this is a crucial element to remember. Okay, so let me finish the discussion that I mentioned. If you remember, I just discussed that the writings of the Bab in general brings the concept of revelation, and this concept of revelation has two implications, two messages. One meaning is that the truth of everything is one, and that's reflection of God. The second one is that each revelation is on the basis of the capacity and the levers and characteristics of the of what we receives the revelation. And therefore, revelation on the one hand is affirmation of the unity, that in everything nothing than God can be seen. On the other hand, it is expression of the fact that everything reflects God to the extent of its capacity and its characteristics. And therefore, everything consists of sort of dual station, that the Bab defines it as divinity and servitude. Everything is reflection of God, that's its truth, but at the same time, everything has its own characteristics, capacities which separates it from other things. The second one is the created character of things. And the first one is reflection of God, the sign of God. And then I discussed Persian Bayan, that the revolutionary message of the Persian Bayan, the most innovative, the most novel concept of Persian Bayan, is the very fact that it historicized this concept of revelation in both meanings of that. Namely, humanity, which is receptive of divine revelation, now goes through different stages of development. And religion, or this divine revelation, takes new forms on the basis of the new form of development of humanity. So On the one hand, revelation of God is one. So all religions are one, all prophets are one, all divine books are one. On the other hand, religion is a progressive, living, dynamic thing, evolving, maturing. And that's because, again, the logic of revelation requires this double, this dialogue between the sun, for instance, which is disclosing itself, and the mirror, which reflects that disclosure only on the basis of its own capacities and resources. And since humanity is dynamic, culture is dynamic, for that reason, the Bab used that general concept of revelation as a metaphysical issue, historicized that, and that became the thesis that now we call it progressive revelation. All Persian Bayan is affirmation of this issue. And on the other hand, he emphasized, as I mentioned last time, that when divine revelation creates a new civilization, everything that happening in that civilization is actually the agent, is the point, is the one who is revealing itself. That if, using the words of the Bab, if you have a king and that king is sovereign, it is through the point. The point is sovereign and the point is doing this through this person. Otherwise, by himself, the moment that this person, this king, rejects his association with the point, for example, right now in an Islamic society, the king says bad things about the Quran and Prophet Muhammad. That is the last day of the kingdom of this person. So the authority of this person, whatever is being done, is because of the association and reflection of the point, of the prophet, of the manifestation. And the Bab, he always gives, including Persian Bayan, a number of times. He says from the king to the farmers, to the cultivators, from Ul-Sultane to Ul-Zar. And the reason is that in all his writings, including the Book of Divine Names, he says that he makes farmer, cultivator, one of the names of God. And he says that God says that I am the real cultivator, I am the real farmer, I am the real peasant. And the reason is that the Bab explains in the language of divine verses that I plant the seeds of my revelation in the hearts and souls of the people. And so you have to purify the soil of your hearts so that it instantly would give yields. By calling farmers manifestations of the name of God, the Bab concludes from this that you have to treat the peasants among you exactly in the same way that you treat princes among you. Because both kings and farmers are expressions of my names, manifestations, reflections of my names. And this, of course, leads to a very dramatic social, political implication that is a logical requirement of this concept of revelation. And so you see that the farmers, the kings, the scholars, everybody, whatever they are doing, it is the point that is acting through them. And the Bab, so this is that moment of revelation as everything is one. And at the same time, the concept of progressive revelation and so on, the concept of irtifa that I mentioned, that each word of God develops, becomes dialectical, and takes a new form, that is because of the dual character of revelation. Revelation, anyway, these are all things that I have been discussing in the last two sessions. That was the basic point. Now, one expression of this is the very, very, very important chapter in the Persian Bayan, and it is a long one, in which the Bab talks about the station of the point. And the title of that is لَنُقْتَةَ مَغَامَيْن. There are two stations for the point. And then he explains. He says that the point has divinity, station of divinity, and has a station of servitude. And then he discusses a lot of things, including the idea that this same fact is true about everybody and everything. So in everything also there is a sign of God, that is the divinity of that thing, and at the same time everything as a created being has its own characteristics which separates it from other things. This is the element of servitude. So that binary concept of revelation takes the form of this dual aspect of existence. And as I mentioned, the Bab means really just these two, servitude and divinity coming together. And that's the structure of reality. So the word Bab, the category of the Bab, from the point of view of the Bab, is disclosure of the structure of reality. I want now to talk about a little bit the Bayan and the principle of unity as part of the general philosophical expressions of that. Persian Bayan all the time is presenting that same concept of unity of everything in the form of the structure of Persian Bayan. So Persian Bayan was supposed to consist of 361 chapters, which would be 19 units, each unit having 19 chapters. And for the Bab, each chapter of the Persian Bayan becomes a gate for emergence of a new culture and civilization. It is through Persian Bayan and the writings of the Bab in general, because all writings of the Bab are called Bayan. Then in the context of the fact that all the writings of the Bab are Bayan, there are these two specific works which are called just Bayan, not by any other name. One is Persian Bayan, one is Arabic Bayan. Arabic Bayan is much shorter. It's about 30, 40 pages, because it gives the basic point but doesn't explain that. Persian Bayan is much longer, 10 times of that or more, because it explains each one of those. By the way, the Bab, in varieties of his writings, he says that you can say Bayan, you can also say Bayan. As Bayan, it is one of the names of God. Bayan means the one God who is elucidating, who is explaining, and so on. And the word has a lot of mystical meanings for the Bab. If I felt that we have some time, I'll mention that. So Bayan becomes the creative force, because it's the word of God, it's creative, and it creates civilization. So the Babi civilization, like Islamic civilization, Islamic civilization becomes reflections of the Quran. The Babi civilization becomes reflection of the Bayan. And so the structure of that becomes 361, which is equal to all things. But in these all things, nothing can be seen except 19, which is the Bab and the letters of the living. But in that 19, only unity, which is transcending the limits, the realm of numbers and plurality, should be seen, which is the utter pure revelation of the Bab, the truth of the Bab, which is manifesting. And you have to go beyond these numbers and so on. The basic point is that philosophical spiritual message, that in everything and everyone, you have to see their truth. And the truth is reflection of God. At first, this was a general metaphysical principle. Now it became a principle of history, a principle of culture and civilization, that in everything you have to see that one pure divine revelation, which becomes historical and manifests itself at different times in different form. Persian Bayan therefore begins by a discussion that the 19 sacred figures of Islam have returned to this world, and so the Bab and 18 letters of the living are return of the 19 sacred figures of Islam. This is of course according to Shia Islam. And that's part of the general idea that they are the return of all sacred figures in different religions, whether they are identified clearly as 18, 19 or not, for the Bab it is that way. Now, this bayan, in general, including Persian bayan and Arabic bayan, who are constitutive, creative of the new civilization, they create this new civilization in terms of four modes of revelation, four styles of revelation. So the word of God takes four forms. And this is very important in his writings. But again, for this issue, it's not enough to just know what are these four or five. There is a fifth one is Persian, because the Bab also reveals in Persian. And so that's the integrative form of the other four. But in terms of content, there are four distinct modes of revelation. Out of these four modes of revelation, two of them are very, very important. So the other two are elaborations of the first two. What are the first two? They are divine verses and prayers. Now, if you have been following the discussions that we had so far, you immediately see that divine verses and prayers, they are unveiling and presenting the station of the point. Remember, the point, and in fact everything, has divinity and has servitude. The divinity of the point becomes the source of divine verses. What we call the words of God, like Quran, Bayan, Aqdas, the Bab says that they are not the words of transcendental God. That transcendental God, speech or talk or is irrelevant, has no meaning whatsoever. So when we say something is the word of God, it means it is the word of the reflection of God in this world, which is the divinity of the point. So in Islam, because people were not yet ready to realize this thing, revelation, divine verses, were metaphorically expressed as an external event. An angel, Gabriel, takes message from God, brings the words of God, and comes and recites it to the prophet. Prophet learns it by heart and then shares it with people. From the point of view of the Bab, transcendental God does not speak. Speaking, talking, conversing, and so on, absolutely, that God is absolutely transcendental, beyond discussion. Nothing exists at its level, let alone speaking and so on. So the Bab says that language is created by humans, and humans are created, themselves are created. So how the product of the created can adequately define the reality of transcendental God? So Persian Bayan many, many times insists on this point, to unveil the truth of revelation. And that's the point, that the source of divine words is the divinity of the prophet. It's the heart of the prophet. And then the servitude of the prophet becomes the source of prayers and supplications. So the two original mode of revelation become important because they are expressions of the truth of the point. By the way, that is why when the Bab sent his letters of the living to different places to proclaim his message, he gave them commentary of the Surah of Joseph, which is the divine verses, and also some of his prayers that he revealed in those early times. And that was intentional, because again, he was expressing the truth of himself, although he concealed his real station, talked in ambiguous fashions and so on, but at the same time, he was very clear and he was very explicit by sending these two. Now, the other modes of revelation, one is commentary. Now, commentary by definition is explanation of divine verses. And the Bab makes it very clear. If the Bab interprets an Islamic tradition, that is not commentary. Commentary is only commentary of divine verses. So if the Bab explains the meaning of an Islamic tradition, that does not belong to the third mode of revelation, namely commentary or interpretation. It belongs to the fourth. What is the fourth one? The fourth one is rational discourse, answer to questions, explanation of different issues. So he calls them shoun elmiye, shoun hekamiye, philosophical, rational discussions, things like that. These are those writings which explain different issues. People usually ask questions about this or that. And if it is traditions, meaning of Islamic traditions, these fall here. Only one place in Persian Bayan and nowhere else, the Bab explains that this rational mode of revelation, these explanations, they are interpretations of prayer. So just as commentary, interpretation was interpretation of divine verses, rational philosophical discussions become, according to the Bab, interpretations, commentary on prayers. So you see the third and fourth one becomes elaboration of the first and second. And they are important because they unveil the structure of reality, the structure of the point, which is simultaneously the structure of reality. But why the Bab defines rational philosophical explanations as the interpretations of prayers? The reason actually is very clear if you pay attention to the logic of the Bab. What is prayer from the point of view of the Bab and the spirit of prayer that he emphasizes so much in his writings? The spirit of prayer is a consciousness that beyond phenomenal, finite things, their truth is infinite, the truth is God, the truth is the spiritual. Connecting, trying to connect to that spiritual truth, to that, to God, to that utter pure revelation, that is the task of prayer and the spirit of prayer. Once we understand that this is prayer, it's not a ritualistic act, then the meaning of philosophy, rational discourses, and so on becomes clear. Because philosophical discourse by the manifestation of God is not discussion of physics and chemistry. What it discusses is the fact that all reality is ultimately spiritual. All philosophical discussions of the point is geared towards clarifying this point and creating this consciousness that the ultimate truth of everything is God, is a spiritual, is the revelation of God. But this is the principle of prayer. And for that reason, the Bab, in his very creative wisdom, defines the fourth mode of revelation as interpretation, as commentary on prayers. But prayer and divine verses, they become the primary ones. And they, of course, we understand now that together they express the reality of everything. A very important point about this is that the Bab defined the four rivers of paradise, which is mentioned in the Quran, as these four modes of revelation. The Quran defines the paradise, the heaven, as a place that it has river of water, river of milk, river of honey, and river of wine, which Bab always present as red wine. From the point of view of the Bab, all these rivers, their source is the fountain of Kawthar, the fountain of plenitude and abundance. This fountain of Kawthar is nothing but utter pure revelation of God, which is the source of all reality. Remember, all reality is that. Now, in each revelation, this pure revelation of God, in order to bring into existence a new civilization, which becomes a new paradise, it takes different forms of writing, forms of revelation. Divine words takes different forms. These different forms of writing, modes of revelation, becomes these four rivers of paradise through which the new spiritual paradise comes into existence. So divine verses are the pure water. The prayers are milk. The commentaries or interpretations are honey. And the philosophical rational discussions become wine, red wine. As Bob explains, and in his commentary on the Surah of Kosar, he gives a lot of explanation on this issue. These represent different degrees of determination and specification. So water is without any characteristics, and it doesn't have any color. It's colorlessness, transparency. And then gradually it becomes, have more colors and more specific odors and so on. So coming to milk, from that to honey, through that wine and so on. And these become also the first four stages of creation, which three of them I discussed, was will, determination, destiny, and then decree, or qaza. And this fourth one means that the decision has been made that that entity, which was defined by the three first stages, now to become real, would not be just a possibility. The rest of the three stages are just the details of realization of that. So these four stages of creation also becomes these four rivers of paradise, because they are creating a new civilization. One thing that I find it very interesting, and I want to share it with you, is that in the writings of the Bab, the entire reality are interdependent, reciprocal, and related to each other. The traditional discussion categories that we have a material world as opposed to a spiritual celestial world, and the material world is evil or bad, and the spiritual celestial world is good. The writings of the Bab completely destroys this worldview. On the contrary, there is no material world for the Bab. The material is just one way of gazing, looking at reality. But the truth of everything, this thing that we call material world, the truth of everything is the spiritual. It's not the battle between this place and another place. The battle is between the appearance of things and the reality of things. So everything is ultimately spiritual. Everything is beautiful. Everything is sacred. This interconnection of everything is very important. In commentary on the Surah of Kosar, the Bab says that if right now an ant, you know, this little tiny animal ant, desires to understand and infer and interpret and derive the hidden and the most abstruse hidden meanings of the entire Quran by looking and analyzing the very black of its own eye, the Bab says, of course it can. And it says it can because the revelation of God is now pulsing, vibrating through all things. All things are related to each other. From everything you can discover everything else. Everything is mirror of everything. And ultimately, this is because, of course, everything is spiritual. Everything is a reflection of attributes of God. And therefore, they become one and the same. All writings of the Bab shows this harmony of all these things. The whole spiritual truth, as I mentioned, according to that tradition, is present in opening phrase of Quran or opening phrase of the Bayan, Bismillah. But that, in addition to having 19 letters, it has four words. The Bab takes these four words as symbols of different four levels of reality. With regard to human being or manifestations of God, he distinguishes four levels. Heart is the highest. And then there is the realm of a spirit. Sometimes he calls it intellect, but mostly a spirit. Then there is a stage of soul. And then there is a stage of body. So these become reflections of those. The 19, namely the Bab and 18 letters of the living, also they would be defined as reflections of these four stages. In the age of Islam, there were four hierarchical stages. One is the stage of the point, which is the truth of Prophet Muhammad, when Quran is being revealed. There is Prophet Muhammad as defined as a prophet, namely as a receptive, as servitude. And then there are 12 Imams and Fatima. And then become the station of gates, which includes the scholars and so on. So you have four levels of reality. The first reality becomes the station of the point or divinity. The second station becomes prophethood. The third becomes imamat. And the fourth one becomes gatehood. This corresponds to these heart and so on. A very important point in all the writings of the Bab is that he constantly emphasizes that all these levels of spiritual reality are present within himself. If in the early writings of the Bab, he sometimes talked as if he's gate to the Imam, in this case, 12 Imam, even at that time, he was not saying something which was not true. As he explains, and he explains it many times in his writings, and the Persian Bayan has allusions to that. The station of the point, the divinity of the point, is the heart of the Bab. The station of prophethood is the station of the spirit of the Bab. Imams are a station of the soul, nafs, of the Bab. And gates are the station of the body of the Bab. The Bab is simultaneously the gate to the 12 Imam. He is the 12 Imam and all the other Imams. And he is the prophet. And he is the point in which nothing can be seen. All of them always are true within him. But these four levels then become discussion of all reality. So we have four elements: fire, water, air, and dust. They become, again, all these things. Four colors becomes reflections of these, mostly because of those rivers of paradise and so on. All different things, the Bab has this richness of creating these symbols and presenting different elements and so on. And so what you get is that everything becomes spiritual. Everything is related to each other. Everything is mirroring everything else. There is no distinction anymore between the material and the spiritual. What we call material is just one way of looking at it. Anything, if you look at it in a way that separates it from other things, becomes material. But in reality, that thing is spiritual, is connected to everything, is part of everything. And it is spiritual. It's not that we need to die and go to an other place that we begin a spiritual realm. It's right here. The writings of the Bab and Persian Bayan, although it affirms life after death, but its focus is this world and realization of this unity in this world. One of the ways that this issue is being discussed, and I just love this, is his discussion of tea. Commentary on the Surah of Kawthar, in the very beginning part of that, the Bab says to Wahid that if I wish to explain the meaning of all this fountain of Kawthar through just this tea that you are drinking right now, it's clear that the Bab has offered tea in his home for Wahid to have. He says that, of course, I can. But then he doesn't say that. I guess Wahid was not yet ready. At the end of commentary on the Surah of Kawthar, the Bab says that, explains that, but he's short. And so I remember the first time that I read commentary on the Surah of Kawthar, I didn't get this point. And then I read another tablet of the Bab, which the Bab elaborates on this issue, because I got that now clearly. The second time, which actually it was about 6 months ago, I read again this commentary on the Surah of Kawthar, then I saw that he discusses that close to the end. But the first time I didn't note that. Now, how it is that the Bab can unveil the truth of Kawthar, all these rivers of paradise, through this tea that he's offering? Well, this is the way he explains. You know, tea consists of water. You cannot have tea without water. This is the river of water in paradise. It is clear that the Bab, when using tea, he would use some milk. And so the tea has the second river of paradise. And the Bab would use some sugar. And this becomes honey. And the tea becomes tea by the leaf of the tea. And that leaf becomes symbol of that relaxing, intoxicating element, which is symbolized by wine. And so from what the Bab says, if one would drink a cup of tea within a spiritual outlook, this person is in heaven, is in paradise, and is drinking all the four rivers of paradise. You don't need to die to experience this. Right now, everything. This interpenetration of spiritual and material, all things are interrelated, and all things are ultimately one, and so on. This is this recurrent principle, all the writings of the Bab. The writings of the Bab, in correspondence, of course, with the new historical message that it's bringing, of course, reinterprets the concept of resurrection, heaven, and hell. All of these become historical. The first innovation of the Bab is that heaven and hell are not just for human beings. Traditionally, it's just for us. We die, and then we are before God, and God sends us either to heaven or hell. But for the Bab, everything has paradise or hell. And this is one of the most beautiful elements of the entire Persian Bayan. Bayan constantly says that paradise for everything is realization of its perfection, realization of its potentialities. The hell for everything is the state of being deprived from realizing its potential. Bayan constantly says that everything in reality yearns and longs to attain its perfection, to realize its potentialities. Persian Bayan constantly says that it is the duty of everyone to help to the extent of their power that everything reaches their paradise. And if they can do that and don't do that, they are responsible before God. In the writings of the Bab, therefore, nature, just like the realm of human being, has rights. Everything has rights, has moral rights, the right to attain its paradise. And humans are responsible for this. You want really a spiritual philosophy of protection of the environment and so on, you have to go to Persian Bayan. Just amazing. So everything has this paradise or heaven and hell. And of course it applies to the human beings as well. But the day of resurrection, the Bab emphasizes one very important point. Quran discusses the day of resurrection all the time. But in discussion of the day of resurrection, Muslims usually have paid attention to parts like, you know, characteristics of heaven and hell. Hell is a place that's filled with fire and constantly, eternally, you are being tortured by fire and so on. It's very hot. And paradise is this beautiful garden, and you are eternally having all your physical pleasures fulfilled. These are the issues which are emphasized in terms of the concept of the day of resurrection. But in the Quran, the most important idea, day of resurrection is a time that people come to life and they come before God. And they meet God. They attain the presence of God. And of course, then God makes judgment and they go heaven or hell. The Bab, instead of emphasizing that heaven and hell, emphasizes this point. The day of resurrection is this important day because we attain the presence of God. This is why it is the day of resurrection. This is why that day is important. The Bab doesn't care if we attain the presence of God, whether after that we go to hell or we go to heaven. Even when he's discussing worship, he says that you have to, it's in Persian Bayan, you have to worship God in a way that if the consequence of your worship is that you are sent eternally to hell, this would not change your worship. Because you don't do worship for going to hell or to heaven. These are irrelevant. It's the end in itself, because it's union with God. Union with your own truth. And that's the ultimate pleasure. The ultimate pleasure is this spiritual pleasure. Material pleasure or pain, they fade away, they pale with regard to this. So day of resurrection in the Persian Bayan, and the Bab says that among these Shi'is, nobody seems to have understood the meaning of the day of resurrection. He says the day of resurrection is the day that we attain the presence of God. That is the supreme meaning of life and supreme pleasure. And because God cannot be seen or known, it becomes reflection of God in this world, which becomes the point. And therefore, the day of resurrection, according to the Bab, becomes the duration of the ministry of the manifestation of God. So, as he says, day of resurrection lasted 23 years in Islam, from the time that Prophet Muhammad declared his station to the time that he passed away. It was 23 years. After that, there is no longer day of resurrection. And for himself, the day of resurrection begins May 23rd of June 1844, and it ends with his martyrdom. Persian Bayan has one place, also Arabic Bayan, that the Bab is talking about these people not knowing, failing to recognize him and so on. And he says that the sun has come very close to its zenith, and yet these people are neglectful. The way he discusses that, and the word of this zenith is irtifa, is that same of hebun concept that I mentioned, which at the same time is meaning the end of the life of the Bab. Persian Bayan and Arabic Bayan is predicting there is consciousness that his life is going to be not that long anymore. So I won't discuss really the concept of heaven and hell, just this final point about heaven and hell. The concept of heaven and hell becomes historicized. From the point of view of the Bab, the heaven of the past becomes the hell of the present. What was heaven? Heaven was realization of potentialities, right? And hell was deprivation from that. Because humanity is dynamic, advancing all the time, for that reason, if you are part of heaven, namely part of recognition of spiritual principles of the previous religion, you are part of heaven. But when a new stage of development of humanity appears, a new manifestation has come, you don't join that, you don't recognize that, you stay within your previous heaven. This heaven now means failing to recognize new spiritual potentialities. And therefore, by definition of the Bab, heaven turns into hell. He says, waquf, namely hesitating and staying. In Persian, we call tawakuf. Waquf is tawakuf. But waquf also means understanding and so on. Here, Above, when he uses it, means tawakkuf only, stopping, becoming stagnant in a place. That becomes hell. Staying with the previous heaven is the very essence of hell. So heaven and hell are historical. And that's because of this principle of historical development. And that's why in his writings, fire turns into light, light turns into fire. There is nothing eternal about any of them. So the greatest people praised with the highest definitions in a religion, they can turn into fire if they fail to recognize the new manifestation of God. As the Bab says, whenever a new manifestation of God comes, everybody becomes equal. There is nobody superior to anybody. And then it is only acceptance or rejection of the new spiritual values which defines whether they would become part of hell or heaven. The final point, these are within the philosophical worldview, the final point is that Persian Bayan often discusses the point and the letters of the living and the fact that they are returns of all the previous ones, and this is the principle of unity and revelation and all these things. Some of them I discussed with you. Starts to discuss the principles of hermeneutics, principles of interpretation, the rules of interpretation of Persian Bayan. So before he starts to give laws and so on, he gives us the rules for how to understand and interpret it. There are a number of chapters. The basic point of these chapters, and they are titles of these chapters, is that first of all, the meaning, the ultimate meaning of all words, all concept in Bayan, including Persian Bayan, is He whom God shall make manifest. Everything good is mentioned, every great title given to anybody. All of these, their real meaning is He whom God shall make manifest. Only in a secondary, tertiary fashion, a shadow of that would be reflected in other people. But the real meaning of everything good mentioned, this is the title of one of the chapters, is He whom God shall make manifest. The second point, so nobody can come and reject Baha'u'llah by saying that, oh, I have these great titles from the Bab, for example. That, not only when manifestation comes, everybody becomes equal, which I mentioned that, and the Bab mentions that maybe 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. It's so frequent in Persian Bayan. But in addition to that, every good thing is primarily only He whom God shall make manifest, and nobody else. Everybody else are mirrors reflecting that. And everybody is mirror. Everybody. This point that all the believers are mirrors and also adilla. Adilla, plural of dalil, means evidence, indicator. All are adilla. All are mirrors, maraya. Nobody is a particular mirror. And I explained this a little bit in the previous one. There is only one title which is not everybody. That's shuhada, witnesses. And the Bab, in Arabic Bayan, beginning of Arabic Bayan, defines the imams as shuhada. That after Muhammad are the shuhada, and then after them are the gates. In Persian Bayan, he defines shuhada as leaders of the Babi community after the Bab in general. So they can be imams, and I mean equivalent of the imams in Islam, they can be gates, they can be scholars and the like. And the point that he does not miss in Persian Bayan, many times he says that, he addresses the shuhada of Bayan, the witnesses of the Bayan, says that beware not to become deprived of recognizing He whom God shall make manifest. And he constantly says that don't become like clerics of Islam. So the idea, when the Bab is talking about leaders after him, these are shuhada. That's the concept that he uses that. And the basic point is about the shuhada is constantly the idea that they might do the same thing that the clerics did with regard to him, and he educates people not to do the same thing. Otherwise, mirror, I don't know, adela, all these are characteristic of all Babis, all of them, without exception, and this is not an implicit point. Explicitly, the Bab mentions that, affirms that, tens of times as titles of chapters or discussions of chapters throughout. What time is it? Okay, at this point, I just mentioned what I've mentioned in the very beginning of my talk about the order of the categories for discussing the laws of the Bab in a more detailed fashion, and then we can have some short part for questions. As I mentioned, after studying all the details of 162 chapters of Persian Bayan, I came to the conclusion through progressive content analysis that they all would fall within four major categories. The first category is discussion of the Bayan itself. Persian Bayan has a lot of chapters which talk about the Bayan itself. For instance, preservation of the Bayan, making sure that it would be written in the most beautiful fashion, the order of Persian Bayan, or the order of the writings of the Bab Bayan in general, and so on. A lot of chapters of the Bayan, Persian Bayan, is devoted to this. And of course, Persian Bayan and Bayan is for devotional acts. So you have to read that and the like. And this is also accompanied with discussions of shrines and temples and so on, because they also become places of worship and so on. So a number of discussions of Bayan are centered around the question of Bayan and acts of worship. They are inseparable. The other thing that anybody who reads Persian Bayan immediately understands is that the meaning of all Bayan is he whom God shall make manifest. All of discussions of Persian Bayan are intended to make sure that people would not fail from recognizing he whom God shall make manifest. There is no one page in Persian Bayan in which he doesn't discuss this point. There is no page. There is no chapter in Persian Bayan that he doesn't discuss, out of 162 chapters, that he doesn't discuss explicitly he whom God shall make manifest. It's not like any other religion. It's not even like the Baha'i faith. The Baha'i faith, you know, you look at Aqdas or laws of the Bab, of Baha'u'llah, and so on. You can codify it in terms of varieties of concepts. But the idea of the next revelation to be the center of everything that Baha'u'llah discusses, there is no such thing. The same thing is true about Quran or about gospel or things like that. But the Bab and Bayan becomes different. Everything he discusses is ways of making sure that you would recognize he whom God shall make manifest. Partly this is because of the structure of Bayan. You remember that the Bayan became the whole discussion, that the question of revelation became historicized. And that means that the Bayan itself is not the last word of God, that after him there would be revelations. So partly because of that structure, this is there. But it's not just that. Everything he discusses, he relates to that point. Every law that he mentions is related to that point. But in addition to that, there are a number of laws in Persian Bayan which are specifically related to him whom God shall make manifest. So these second ones, namely specific ones, becomes the second one. In between, namely Bayan, the word of God, creative word, which has a purpose, and the purpose is maturation of the Babi civilization in order to realize its perfection in the new civilization, in order to experience that irtifa in the new revelation. In between, there is discussion of human beings and issues related to how humans should live, how they should treat each other and so on, humans and society. And as part of that, as a special part of that, the Bab deals in a number of chapters with regard to the question of the kings. And so he has a number of particular chapters that he deals with the question of sovereigns. And they are among the most challenging parts of Persian Bayan. So, of course, this is reflection of the discussion of human beings. And human beings, from the kings to the farmers and peasants, they are all reflections of Bayan, all reflections of divine names, created by divine names. And they are all nothing but He whom God shall make manifest. It is He whom God shall make manifest who is revealing itself through Bayan and is creating the Babi civilization, this humanity, new humanity, through His words, including manifestation of His sovereignty in the form of the kings. And all of this for realization and of Him. So all these four parts that I mentioned are one and the same. It's amazing, the spiritual unity, mystical unity of everything in Persian Bayan. So now I would open for some discussions, and then we would have a short break. When we come back, I talk about these four categories and different laws of the Bab and so on. Yes.
I have two interrelated questions. One is that I'm going back to the concept of servitude versus authority or divinity that you explained, and every one of us have those dual aspects. I want to know if the servitude part is the part that is actually gives us the freedom, right? We have ikhtiyar. Now, I want to see, in your opinion, does that apply to manifestations of God as well?
It's a good question.
Okay.
And we have to go and ask the Bab for that.
No, truly. No, I understand. That is why I ask, in your opinion.
But I believe
because
that
I have, let me explain the second one, because it's also related to this first one, about the progressive revelation, which is actually at the heart of, you know, Babi Baha'i philosophy, the historicity of the revelation. I like to see that. Because progressive in its word means that it gets better gradually.
Yes.
But does it get better or does it change? Because when you look at the history of religions in different parts of the world, first of all, not all are related to each other. There are, you know, they have developed in different parts of the world, one. And two, you see that connecting to the first question, if, for example, this individual primal mirror, let's say the Bab, has this much capacity individually, the nafs has this much capacity, does it influence how he says it, what he says it, in addition to who he says it for? Do you see? Because it is a baffling question for me, because when, for example, I look at Jesus Christ and where he appeared, I mean, it was under the Roman Empire and they were tremendously more philosophically advanced than, for example, in the Arabian Peninsula. Philosophically, I'm not talking about spiritually, right? So it's a little hard for me to understand how, you know, we can justify it that necessarily the teachings of the next manifestation of God is more advanced or takamul. Truly, I'm not, you know, it is a question for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure that this is a general question for all of us, and We can have some speculations about it, but ultimately we have to go and ask the manifestation of God. A Persian Bayan frequently makes statements which indicate that although the source of the divine word, words of God, is the divinity of the manifestation, but the way it reflects itself is belesan mazhar amr, belesan mazhar khud, in the language of the prophet. And this may mean that the particular characteristics of the prophet manifestation, that would affect the way that set of meanings would reflect itself. When you read Persian Bayan, there is no doubt that the way he speaks is influenced by Shirazi, you know, approach to language. Frequently, instead of saying on, he says un, means that. But he doesn't use the typical Persian way. Sometimes he uses, but more frequently he uses another way, which is more a Shirazi way of saying that. He has his own language, his Arabic, his Persian, and so on. So my understanding is that what the Bab is saying is that not only the words of God are not the words of transcendental God, it is the words whose source is the divinity of the manifestation itself. But the way it is expressed takes different forms and so on, is influenced by that other aspect. However, this is my understanding of what he is saying, and which makes sense. But I can't say that he categorically, in very explicit fashion, says things that rejects any alternative understanding of it. With regard to the question of progressive revelation, definitely what the Bab says is the idea of progressive revelation. Revelations are not just different. They are progressive. And that's the whole point of Irtifa, that the word of God is the same, but corresponding to development of humanity, it takes a higher form, or a form which is more, what he uses is ashraf. And so he always gives an example of human beings. Human beings, he says, of course, the person who's 2 years of age is the same person who is 12 years of age. But at the same time, if you say that the 12 years of age is exactly the same that was 2 years of age, is an offensive statement and insult on this person, because he is infinitely more advanced, more mature than that. But at the same time, they are the same person. This becomes that concept of dialectical concept. So it is becoming mature, but its truth is one and the same. But the logic is overall logic, and how God has his own plans and so on, I don't know. What you said about Christianity and Islam is completely accurate, but it is also true that Islamic mysticism and Islamic philosophy, which was developed gradually, which had many different sources, but a major source and inspiration, of course, was Quran, without any doubt. And that mystical, philosophical traditions of Islam, in terms of mystical advancement and development, are very, very advanced. And so one can have different ideas about this thing, but for me, the Islamic mysticism, even mystic poetry, in Iran is achieving heights which I don't think a lot of other attempts have been as successful. But again, these are empirical questions, personal judgments, and so on. But overall, in the realm of history, that's what the Bab sees. But we cannot in the empirical realization of this, turn this into a very specific formula. So it might have ups and downs and so on. Anyway, the answer to this question ultimately is, I don't know. Next question.
The letter of the living, whom you said, Hadi Kazvini, who rejected Baha'u'llah, two questions about him. In the new tablet in English of the Bar and the Ha revealed by Baha'u'llah, it's addressed to a Hadi Kazvini. Is it the same one?
Yes.
And is it the same Hadi Kazvini who Baha'u'llah sent to rescue Tahereh from Kazvin? In 1847 when he sent...
I don't think so. But there was a Farhadi, which was, let me not answer because I am not sure, but it doesn't register in my mind that Hadi Ghazvini was involved in rescuing Tahereh, but that might be accurate and I haven't noted that. The tablet must be, I don't know which tablet you are referring to, but there are a number of tablets.
It's in the new translation in the Seven Valleys book. It's called The Tablet of the Ba and the Ha.
Yes, I unfortunately haven't looked at it.
Okay.
And so I have to check, but most likely that is the case. And sometimes he is called by Baha'u'llah Harf Ha, the letter H, Hadi Ghazvini, in the tablets. Yes?
Hi. So I know that in some parts of the Bayan there are laws that are considered like impossible. Like one is to like give 19 myth calls of gold to... I think the Bab, and then another is to like basically just be very extravagant and generous in giving. And so I've noticed like some people use that as a criticism of the Bab's teachings, saying that, oh, this seems pretty crazy. Why would he teach this?
Well, these are related to discussion of the details of the Persian Bayan. None of the two that you mentioned, I think, is exactly accurate. But it is true that there are some challenging laws in the Persian Bayan, and I hope that we would have time to discuss that. Most of those laws are, not most, almost all of those laws are related to the kings. So the kings, when they are addressed, part of that is the necessity of realization of social justice, helping people and so on. Part of that is related to affirming their humility before He whom God shall make manifest, and that they won't become an obstacle. They don't become like the king of Iran. But then there are a number of laws, about 5-6 chapters of the Persian Bayan, addressed only to the kings, which then brings some laws of jihad. Those are the challenging parts of the Persian Bayan, and they are opposed in terms of a spirit and principle to all the other aspects of Persian Bayan. Understanding that requires some discussion, so I'm going to discuss that later. But in general, the laws of Persian Bayan are symbolic. And so a number of them really, sometimes even he says something and he says that in reality it is impossible to realize this. But I mention that because the purpose was to give this irfan, this mystical knowledge of this issue, to understand the principle and the like. And when you read Persian Bayan, you know, some of the laws of Persian Bayan categorically shows that it is for a very limited time. He forbids travel. Travel is only allowed if you go to pilgrimage or for trade. Travel for any other reason is prohibited by the Bab, particularly travel by sea. The things that he says about travel of sea, which is expression of his own experience when he went to Mecca. traveled by sea, and the sufferings that he experienced, and he saw how dignity of human beings are abased during these travels. So he has absolutely categorically forbidden that. Of course, it couldn't be a religion for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years, because, you know, very shortly after that, travel by sea became much easier and much more dignified, and so on. Or, for example, he makes the law, which is part of even his justice, that the kings have to create arrangements that the news would get to them from different parts of the world at least within 19 days. And he says that this is just to make sure that when he whom God shall make manifest, the news of his revelation would reach people, humanity. Now imagine that, as some of the followers of Yahya Azal assume, that the religion of the Babi faith is for 2,000 years or something like that. Well, already through internet, I mean, you don't need anything else. These whole ideas have become absolutely irrelevant. So a lot of things that, a lot of his laws are clearly shows that it is for a very limited time period, and they are symbolic. However, your general statement that a lot of laws are crazy and so on, it's not so. We'll discuss the writings of the... Sometimes people don't understand it when people have write things to reject the Bab and so on. They say things. But that doesn't mean that they are accurate. They haven't understood. They have taken things out of context. For example, I'll give you one example. One of the examples frequently mentioned in anti-Baha'i books in Iran is that they ridicule the Bayan, and they say that the Bab says, don't ride on cows and don't drink the milk of donkeys. And they ridicule that. They say, what is this? And so when you read that, you see that this is in Arabic Bayan, it's not in Persian Bayan, is accompanied with 10 of other things, all of them related to the rules of pilgrimage. And the very clear point is that these are actually things that the Bab has experienced, has saw in his travel to Mecca and Medina. And so he's making sure that none of these things would happen, which in this case are, of course, Persian Bayan, Arabic Bayan, is very sensitive about the rights of animals. And so animals should be used in utmost consideration for the purpose that it is easy for them. And of course, part of that is also rejection of some of the Islamic traditions. Islamic traditions have glorified so much drinking of the milk of donkeys. If you read, for instance, Hilyat al-Muttaqin, which is this encyclopedia of giving you the laws for every aspect of your life and so on, it refers to so many traditions which say how great is and how beneficial it is, and so on. But that's part of general statements that the Bab is making about protection of animals, and that pilgrimage at that time was very difficult. People had to go walk and so on, and therefore they had to abuse animals, and that was constantly being done. Or one of their other statements is that they say that the Bab says, don't strike egg to anything because its content becomes spoiled. And then they laugh at it. This is another thing that is part of that law of pilgrimage, that that because they were going on foot for a long time and so on, and they carried some eggs and so on, it's clearly that these eggs would be cracked, and they would become, they were food. And the Bible says that God has made eggs the food of the primal point, which most likely it means that during the time of his trip to Mecca, that was the main food that was available for him. So egg also has a right. Everything has a right, and they have to be treated with respect and with dignity. And so I gave you just two examples of the way that these anti-Baha'i people who write in order to criticize or ridicule the writings of the Bab, both of them are expressions of the most beautiful philosophical discussion in the writings of the Bab. By the way, one just statement about animals. I mentioned that because I probably won't have time to go into detail of that. Among other things that the Bab says, he constantly says that you have to make a pact with yourself that don't make anybody sad. Or that you have to make a pact with yourself, get this habit that if you don't cause happiness for people, at least don't cause sadness or harm to them. And he says that if you do all these things, then it guarantees that when he whom God shall make manifest, because you don't know him, then you at least would not harm him. If you don't help him, at least you would not harm him. As part of this discussion, namely the concept of he whom God shall make manifest becomes the basis of a lot of ethical principles of the writings of the Bab. He wants ethics to become habitualized so that this also would result in dignity of treating he whom God shall make manifest. And so in Persian Bayan, one of the things that he says about it is that at least become like animals. So, I mean, it becomes an ethical principle. You can say, follow the example of animals. And what he says is that animals, if they don't cause something beneficial for you, they won't cause a harm to you. They don't cause sadness to you. And says, and of course, he doesn't mean the wild beasts, but he takes animals as a model for the minimum element of behavior that you follow there. If you don't cause benefit and happiness for the people, at least like be like animals. Don't become a sadist to cause them constantly sadness and grief and so on. A lot of laws of the Persian Bayan, by the way, is rejection of the concept of the impurity of animals. So, for example, among Muslims, dogs are absolutely najis, impure, or Arabically najas. Persians say najis, Quran says najas. And one of the chapters of Arabic Bayan is that not so anymore. Or about mice, you know, or bath. 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 It is not TH, huh? One moment that I wanted to pronounce TH correctly, it happened that I make it my TH is always T or D. It never is accurate. In any case, he says that in everything you have to observe cleanliness and beauty and so on, but no animal is. And these are part of, let's have a 10 minutes break and then come back for the last discussion of Persian Bayan.